college the 2 years? There's another one with 2 years between 97 and 99. Oh, so this is cool. He might have been in school or something.
We'll ask him.
Oh, he was in school. Manhattan Community College, 96 to 98. So that covers that.
Just a newer one.
Hi, Mark.
Morning. Is that all you know on the piano? Is a little bit more? Yeah, it's more music than I've got. Oh. Did you catch the one this morning on Facebook? No, you don't do that.
No, I don't do
Facebook. Where someone was having a surprise, the daughter came in for a surprise birthday party, and she was complaining because no one stopped her daughter. Well, it wouldn't have been a surprise if just keeps going and going.
You know, they complain if somebody gets in, right?
Yeah.
Like this one woman's daughter came to visit her, and the guard recognized her, and I'm going to see my mom.
Yeah,
mom didn't call her in. Then mom ends up complaining, hey, you let my daughter in. Come on, these people, they've been here a long time, they recognize people. Oh,
Jesus.
I know it, they're just nitpickers. It's like, God, get a life. I wonder we have a reputation at City Hall that people in here got nothing better to do.
I can see your house from here.
We could do with a little less of that.
Yeah, a lot less.
Did you see that nice lady that suggested we hire a guard? $20 an hour, 24 hours a day. She said it would cost $24,000 a year.
No.
$175,000 a year.
Why, maybe she was just talking from midnight on.
No, she said 24 hours a day, $20 an hour. That's $480 a day, 365. That's $175,000.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I don't think the park wants to start.
I'd take a piece of that act.
I know it. I guess the lady that quit, well, I don't guess, but she quit because her knee couldn't take stepping in and out of there. I don't know how many times a day.
Well, you know, that jolts you pretty hard coming down out of that, but there's nothing you can do about it.
She got must have a weak knee or something. They're short-handed up there. I know.
Yeah, he says he's having a heck of a time finding somebody.
Ward pulled a couple of double shifts. I know.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh. At least we have staff willing to do what they can to.
No, we got good staff.
I know it.
I had a $500,000 cutter for making cutting magazines brought in from Munich, Germany, and I had to hire the guy from Germany to come in and set it up because it's that precision. And he brought his family, which we didn't know was coming. Well, anyway, long story short, after a month and a half of getting that set up and exact.
Month and a half to
month
set
and
it
a
up.
Half. I mean, the blades, the knives for the machine, right? About $50,000 a set, right? And you got three blades on there. That's three sets. Yeah, well, anyway.
She's got the right idea.
I was over in the press room.
Yeah, a little bit.
I walk out of the press room, right? And I get this kid climbing on the top of this machine.
You get M&M's too?
Okay. Morning, ladies. Morning. I can't hear. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. I heard this. They don't know his name. I think it's a grandfather. His, Nicholson, Nickelodeon, something. Nick a something.
It's on the sign. It said no animals allowed.
Right. It's a no service. Animals.
Now it's.
Well, but they showed everything to the office.
It's all right. They.
I'm telling you what.
We will tell them no, no animals in the pool area.
And
period.
Yeah. Last year, we showed that the school number one is the dog in the
hunt. Well, this one, this is not only the grandson deal. There's another lady here in the park that's done this. Yeah.
Well, I, AJ, talked to the woman. And told her, and she didn't do anything. She just said, no, he's here, and whatever. I told the lady that called me and file a complaint with the office, make it legal. Then if it happens again, they at least know that it's not the first time.
Oh, it isn't.
And told her, you know, when you're not here, it's
well,
hard
that's
to.
Why, that's why usually I'm here, and you know, and it just happens.
I was
called
Thunder. Whatever. What's this? We got it covered. Well, that's an emergency. But,
yeah, that's
yeah,
I know.
They've got till Friday. Night, so then,
in here.
Then we'll deal with it after that again. Yeah, I got to bet a little bit. Some people just money is a problem. There's no. This thing out here between the booze and the golf cart and the dogs, it's got to stop.
Golf cart?
Yeah. They drive, right in. They drive right in here like they own the place. And whatever night they do it.
Well, they don't drive it in the...
Not in, right by the pool, but out on the...
Out, yeah, out in the grass, yeah.
What, down the back side of the pool? Yeah, they can do it. That's green space.
Yeah.
As long as they don't have guns and grenades, we're all
no, they're okay. They're all good people.
You know, this is something that I think to be about. That remark about
a whole lot of things we need to start.
That
somebody In, but they do it anyway. But we're going to change it. We're going to start allowing that. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to change it.
Oh. Looking at
those two quotes. Carol, give me another one.
The gallons of the deep pool, the warm pool is three times as much as the price is 10 times as much.
Yeah. And it's commercial. What that
matter. It don't cost 10 times.
No, I know, but that's what they're going to say is correct. Shit. That's what I said.
They're taking advantage of somebody who doesn't know. Well, she's talking about it, just snowing.
Yeah.
And the other pool is 70,000 gallons. That's 70,000. Again, 10 times as much, but 3.5 times the water.
I had a rectangle 20 by 40 up in Maine.
How deep?
8 foot.
20 by 40? That's probably about close to 30,000. I would say 30,000 gallons.
I've forgotten how much.
So this pool's twice as big as that.
I always left the ice on so it would melt my
way. I love it.
Then I throw the kids in it.
Nope, got it right over on
I would clean that. I'd clean that.
We went
just for Labor Day.
Did we go to? I think we went to the place on US One. They were quite a bit more expensive.
It was 24-hour kids, unless the bees come.
They had a lot more on
US One. Then, yeah, we cleaned it up.
They,
I couldn't. I can't see a gallon.
We save for
yeah,
it.
Don't match.
Being, plan for 6.5 times.
Man, I make trips up here now that I'm doing
costing
so much stuff with
months.
The
no,
audit and all that.
No,
you run out 3-4 times a day going back and forth.
Definitely. I'm going to get a fourth proposal.
Because. And I'm always carrying
80% chances so they're all going to use the same plaster.
Well, could lie.
No. So then it comes down to the tile work. And,
it's plenty of good time.
And one of the high proposal, $138,000, that's to replace all the edge tiles and not a single one of them. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I think there's like three that are cracked out of both pools. I mean,
it's not bad.
Replace three. You don't do all of them. But we'll scrutinize it.
Yeah.
It'll be scrutinized. And I'll make copies. And I think there'll be one company. Is so much lower, 48,000 for both pools.
We got to talk to the treasurer and see how much money we got.
Well, he's put in a nice amount. It's a very high priority item. So if we spend less, I'm sure the treasurer will like that.
We can move that to another project.
Put some more in the general savings or the TD savings.
That ain't gonna happen once they get that proposal on the yacht, the lawn.
Hey, but once you,
you guys read last night?
Yeah.
Still here.
Sure.
I was hoping somebody would bring some breakfast.
Yeah, me too.
You know, just even a toast.
Would you like toast?
No, that's
I'd call your wife.
Did you see what time it is? Pizza will be done.
Pizza?
Yeah, by 11, they'll have the ovens up and running.
The way I wrote up the policy, at the end of the year, we would make decisions on, do we want to establish something else?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or do we want to, how do we want to put these monies so that we're happy with what's around? I only put the amounts that were there just to get them in and have them set up.
Yeah, that's what I went back last night, looked at it after I thought, well, yeah, maybe we need that. Nothing against you, but how do we want to perceive this?
Right, and at
that. And it's all on paper. I mean, this is half of what they don't understand. They don't understand that because you put, let's say, $500,000 in this account, $500,000 in this account, we don't use this, we can add it to this. We can move it anywhere we want it.
But only at the end of the year.
Right. But
right. Because like your sidewalks and drainage, to me, that's something we're going to want to add to every year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know,
because
the roads, especially.
That's probably going to be $1 million.
Damn roads. We need to go around when we're ready and mark all those low spots where they puddle.
Right.
And just smooth them out. Paint them and say, this is a low spot. And get this water moving faster.
Right.
And, I don't know, it's going to be interesting.
You'd have to have an engineer.
Oh, well.
You know, you'd have to have somebody come in and ride around and give you, you know, I mean, there's obvious stuff you can see, anybody can see, but
right. They
may come in and say, well, you know, you actually may need to do this whole area vice just making this level. You may need to do this because if you only do this, it's going to be
another spot.
You know,
in order to drain behind my house, that, you know, there's an overflow for the little bocce court pond.
Yeah.
That's got to be lowered. If that's lowered, then everything would drain out.
Yeah, right. It's also set up that pond holds so much water.
Right.
All right. Then when it hits that high level, then it rolls.
It's too high. It leaves water in the canal, the concrete lined canal, for hundreds of yards, full of water year round. And it should be able to drain out. So that's something we can work.
But it's not going to do that.
It will.
Well, how can it do that
if they lower the culvert down?
Well,
then it'll let it drain.
Now, hear that?
I'm talking like lower at about 2 feet.
Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous.
On 2 feet lower and the canal that stays full of water.
Nervous, Nelly?
You're wrong.
Oh, I know.
That should be. But.
Oh, all right. I see what you're
saying. The one that goes into the main online.
Yep. Yeah.
Just lower that down. Now it's going to be pricey because they got to dig it up and put it deeper.
That's a Bob Addy deal. That's a Bob Addy deal. Bob would know that.
Oh, yeah. He can tell by looking at it.
Yeah, he knows the grade.
And Terry mentioned, we got one that's too high. So lower it down. That's the worst drainage issue in the park.
Yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
You know, Mark allowed a nice amount for this building, though. I think your $200,000 amounts are a good number. It's like worst case scenario. So you haven't loaded it, gone lower, and then we've got, oh, we need.
Well, you already know. We already know the kitchen's going to be pricey. We have no idea what electrical or plumbing is going to be. I imagine they're going to be, to do everything properly, it's going to be costly.
Gary's not checking it. They can scope that, not a big deal. They can scope the plumbing, that's not a very big cost. So we know what that is.
Yeah.
Because, like someone was saying, we're going to do our own inspection all the way through the building.
Right.
And I bet if we went around and looked at all the panels,
who's this for?
We'd be pretty much full.
Oh!
How many panels, Gary, electrical panels, did you see when you guys were doing the air conditioning?
I didn't hear the beginning.
Electrical panels, boxes. Do you remember if you saw a lot of them? Or 6 or 7, 8? Electrical boxes.
They're in here. The main ones?
The main, big ones.
They're 50 years old, you know, so. Probably not the new code. Wouldn't need an electrical engineer to look at all the colors.
Yeah, wondering if there was a lot and were they full.
Oh, no, I didn't get to see
that. That would be interesting to find out. Just for our own.
Well, Carol was going to ask the gentleman that came in and looked at the kitchen. She was going to ask him to come back and do the whole building and give us an idea.
It's probably not been pressed.
She probably took it all down.
Thank you.
Right. I was trying to see if I could find the other computer. I could have it here and be able to. You could do that.
Dave, you want to do that?
What's that?
I'll give you my phone number and tell anybody on the Zoom that if they want to ask a question, text it to my phone number.
Oh, all right. We can't get sound up there.
Well, I could, but I think I can. I could just unmute them, but I'd have to sit over there.
Is anyone up there now?
Yeah, you've got quite a few people.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering if...
Let me go try and see.
See if they can hear me or...
Oh. Oh. I was just starting to get a little bead of sweat up there.
Like me.
You have a terrible problem with that cap.
It's the finger.
Oh, the thumb.
You're right, I do.
She's doing this one.
Oh.
She used to check in people at the fair.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
No, if there's something that we can do, we definitely need more people coming to these meetings.
It is
how
summer.
Can we get, how, I know.
Well,
but how can we get information?
Having 100 people during the winter,
yeah,
easily. And these special meetings, they don't come. The attendance
that's
is
too bad because
a third.
We need people.
That more opportunity.
There was
the attendance out if she can have people on Zoom text her
February.
If they have questions.
Packed.
Yeah.
But it was controversial.
No, not a
firing number.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, but the meetings are so much better now. Oh my God. They go smooth.
Yeah.
We could have been out of here by 8:30 if it wasn't for long.
Yeah.
Which is just nice instead of 10:20.
All that fighting and arguing and yelling and screaming.
Yeah, but it resolves quite a few things. Not everything.
No.
I'm glad that I was had my first chance to look at the pool proposals.
Yeah.
It's such a massive difference.
Yeah, you said.
138,000, 48,000.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, 54. It was an 86.
You said 86,000. Yeah.
But I, you know, my experience.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
I did a 20,000.
John, you ready?
That one's three times as much. Cost me 6,000. Why does that cost 10 times as much?
Okay.
Three times the water.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. Combined, it's 100. 130,000.
Yeah.
Can we come to order?
Six and a half times.
Please put your phones on whatever mode you've got that doesn't make them ring. And we'll start. This is a special meeting for June 28th at 10 a.m. called the meeting to order. And we'll do a roll call if we can.
Invocation.
I'm sorry, invocation. Becky.
Miss Becky.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and all of our many blessings. Give us the strength to face our problems. Give us the ability to treat all our residents with kindness and respect and not to judge. Watch over our military and first responders. Bring them home safely. We ask all these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge of Allegiance, if you would.
I pledge
Now we can do the roll call.
Carol Summers, Chairman. Absent. Joan Ocanero, Secretary. Present. Kathy Stone, Assistant Secretary.
Present.
Gary Vincent, First Vice Chair.
That'd be Second Vice Chair. Present.
Second Vice Chair, I'm sorry. Mark Boda, Treasurer.
Present.
Becky Ernest, Assistant Treasurer.
Present.
Dave Curtis.
Present.
First Vice Chair, right?
Present.
Six present, one absent.
I really don't have any announcements. We're here to get a second interview with Miguel Garcia Jr. And Becky's gone out to get him, bring him in, and we'll proceed.
Dave, can I make an announcement? Diane Bell is not here with us today, so if anybody on the Zoom has a question, I would like you to email it to my phone. So I'm going to give you my phone number. It's 207-659-4092.
I might want to read that.
I'll manage.
207-659-4092.
Thank you. Good morning, Miguel. How are you?
Good.
Here we go on part two.
Part two.
First of all, do you have any questions for us?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Board? Sat down at the end, Jack? How about? Gary.
Miguel, did you happen to look at a park website or learn a little bit more about Holiday Park?
I did. I can't say this time around I did as much as I did the first time. I've been busy with some other circumstances going on. I actually am enrolled
Miguel,
in...
Miguel, you need to hold...
Oh, my apologies.
That's okay.
I'm enrolled in a current continuing education for some certifications that are outside of this field. It's more for certified production technicians and just trying to get a certification and kind of build my portfolio a little bit. So I've hit into the meat of that. So it took a lot of my time within the last week. But again, I did see the site obviously much more aggressively during the first time, though.
No more right now.
Go ahead,
Kathy.
I don't know if I really have questions because we asked you quite a few last time, but I'm just glad to see you back again.
I'm glad to be
interview.
Back.
Yeah. So, and I'm curious to see what the audience is going to ask you too. So
you didn't scare me off yet.
Oh, good.
Not yet.
I'm curious to know if you want the job if we offered to you.
Obviously, I'm very interested in the job. I am interested in the job. Obviously, there's a little bit more that comes with that after we get through the second round, and we'll find out. But yeah, I am very interested in the job.
Good.
Yeah. I got a couple of questions for
sure.
You. First one, you mentioned that you're doing some classwork and building a portfolio. Where do we stand in this career thing?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to stay with us or are you going to move on to another area?
No, I'd like to stay. I'm one that I like to stick around in some place I'm comfortable with. And again, to be fair here, this is a second round of questions. There's a lot that comes with that. I want to also feel like I'm wanted. So that's a big part of it for me. If you desire that I take this job, then obviously I'm going to put the same amount of professionalism involved in it. I do want the job. I find it very interesting. I love the, it's a challenge for me really, because you have to understand it. In my previous experience, it's mostly dealing with buildings, large buildings. This is a bit, obviously just a little bit more of a spread out, if you will, just because it's community. And I like that challenge. And I do like the idea that I have an opportunity to work outside as well. As I did allude in the previous interview, I don't mind being hands-on. So,
okay, number two, Miguel. This has been called in or requested that we ask the question.
Sure.
We obviously know where you worked, but there is spaces in between, and they would like to know in between your main employments what you did, and obviously
okay.
It says go to school. So if you want to give the people a little explanation on that.
Do we have a particular time frame or just
between 2009 and 2011, between First Service and Target?
Yeah. Okay, so what happened there was I was living upstate New York at the time, around from 2000 to about 2008-2009. An opportunity came available in the city. The job itself, the manager who was there had not yet left. He was there still. I was told if I can just kind of wait in the wings. So in between that time, I actually worked in some of their other properties as just a handyman and doing some work even at concierge level, a lead concierge in some buildings. So essentially, I was working within First Service, but they had me there for about a year and change working from one building to the next. When that opportunity did come up, then obviously I went full force. But that's primarily what I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have current health insurance?
As of last month, not right now.
Okay. Thank you. Mark? Oh, boy.
I brought this up before, and to me as a property manager, if you should come on here, I'm hoping that in all aspects of the park, our employees, the residents, contractors, that you'll be diligent in seeing that if we have a contract with somebody, you're living up to that contract. And ensuring that residents, even though they get copies of the deed restrictions, the policies, the rules and regulations, they try to skirt around that. And I would hope that you would be able to sit down and help them understand that these are here for a reason and we all need to abide by them.
No, I would agree 100%. It's easier said than done. That being said, in more of my time in a similar circumstances of dealing with contractors and the relationships that some of the conflicts that happen between contractors and residents, it was important for me in my previous experiences to delegate, if you will, and to have to inform the resident and try to articulate or explain what the contractor was trying to do, as far as whether it was something that they went outside of a previous agreement. Maybe there was an emergency. Maybe there was some code violations that they needed to answer to file some paperwork. Some residents don't want to hear that. They want to hear, well, no, that's nice. I need it done yesterday. And that's for me to get myself involved. And I'll listen, the bottom line is there are times when I will have to take the heat and be the meat shield. But at the same token, we have to also look, the door swings both ways. I also have to look at the contractor's performance and ensure that he is following the guidelines and protocols, whether it's something to do with safety, whether it's something to do with codes, and ultimately security as well. I find myself pretty diligent on that. I think that, in particular, my last job, if anything, I think I had a manager tell me, says, "Yeah, you know, you're very aggressive, and this is what we like to see," because at the time we had some contractors who thought that they were, you know, God's gift or something. And contractors have a way of kind of, I don't want to say manipulating, but they can somehow talk the language, if you will, and twist some things around on residents, and they don't know any better sometimes. And it's for me to really ensure that I'm protecting the residents as well.
So one of the things I'm seeing that we may be starting to have problems with is caregivers.
I'm sorry?
Caregivers.
Okay.
It is a 55 plus community. We just redid our deed restrictions, and I'm pretty sure in our deed restrictions, we were, as far as a caregiver, we wanted them to have, be CNA qualified. And we're seeing where elderly people are bringing in younger people like grandchildren and designating them as their caregiver. How would you handle that?
Bottom line is you have to sit down with the parties involved. And as you alluded to before, you have to enforce a lot of the bylaws into this. Now, I haven't read thoroughly into what the consequences are, for lack of a better term of saying it, if they don't follow the rules, whether they're fines levied or not. That's something I haven't seen in the language yet. But I would follow whatever it is that's written down. But again, I've said this in the last meeting, it's a matter of managing a lot of the personalities involved. And I think I'm pretty good at doing that. If somebody's very aggressive, we have to try to disengage that as best as we can. And there are some residents who might pose some litigating threats, if you will. Again, we have to fall back to the language that is existing here in the bylaws and protect ourselves with that. If people are breaking the rules or some of the laws, there's a way to be diplomatic in it and delegate that before you have to drop the hammer, so to speak. So that's something I'd like to do first, is to be able to talk to the residents and to the folks involved and try to find a bit more of a peaceful solution, if you will. Some people may not be that way, and that's fine. But ultimately, in the end, what is written down is law, so to speak, and that's what we have to enforce.
And personally, I would like, if we decide to bring you on, I would want to sit down with you, probably a couple more people that are more familiar with the deed restrictions. I think I have a pretty good handle on them, but go through the deed restrictions,
right,
our policies with you to see what your understanding is of them,
right,
vice what we might believe that our understanding is. So that we're
on the same page.
The same page. Right.
Absolutely.
Good idea. Carol?
That's all.
You're up.
First off, I want to apologize for being late. It's called a doctor's appointment.
The microphone.
Is it not on?
No.
Okay. I want to apologize for being late. Thank you for allowing me to enter the meeting. Thank you again for being here today. We truly appreciate the fact that you have shown up and taken the time to come see us a second time.
Yep.
One of the questions that I have, and I know that you probably have touched on it in the past, but this is something that I've experienced within the last week. We have a resident who does not live in our park. He actually is a homeowner. He acquired the home through a family member. For whatever reason, he has decided that he's using the racial card, and it's an unfortunate circumstance that we have to deal with. He has called an employee in the office racist. He's accused some of the residents of the park of being racist. And we do not have that in our guidelines. I mean, I don't care whether you're blue, black, green, brown, purple, yellow. We all have red blood, and we're all American citizens, regardless of where you're from or who you are. But if this came up and became a potential problem for you to face on a regular basis, and this person did come in and get kind of hateful or whatever, how would you deal with that? Because obviously it could flare up, and it may be a very ugly incident when it does. People's tempers with today's society are very tried for some reason in that respect.
Well, I think that in a case like that, you have to exhaust all efforts internally to, and again, it's easier said than done, to disengage some of the maybe outrageous accusations or so forth. It's important to try to hear somebody out, so to speak, let them vent, let them say their piece, and to listen. But at the same token, it's important to also, and again, I said this before, is to ensure that your bylaws are being met. Now, if it gets to a point where there's nothing in between and no compromise, well, then obviously you might have to. And we had to do this in my last building about 5 or 6 years ago. We had to contact a lawyer and ensure that you know, there weren't any circumstances. I'll just say this about the previous experience. There was an employee that we had to let go, and they used the same tactic, if you will. And for myself at the time, it's all based on performance. Now, this is an employee. This is different from a resident, right? But nevertheless, I had to exhaust all efforts to make sure that I had a reason to let this individual go. And in doing so, nevertheless, they still went to their HR and pursued it even further, to the point where there was lawyers involved to try to not, the lawyers coming in to protect the property, right? And they're there to litigate in some manner to protect the property and its reputation. So it's important to exhaust all efforts first internally, but you also can't get to a point where you're just going along with it and all you're doing is building up resentment. If you just kind of tag it along, or we'll keep talking, where the resentments are going to build up on both sides, potentially. And to avoid the worst kind of case scenario of a conflict, you know, that's when you have to maybe get legal involved and you have to get some of those other external help involved to try to remedy that. One man can't necessarily do it alone. I can do everything I can, but if the resident or the employee for that matter doesn't see it that way and continues to pursue it, well, you can't just sit on your hands either. You have to get other people involved that might be a bit more knowledgeable in the language, if you will, to try to remedy that.
Do you consider yourself to be a forceful person when it comes to dealing with strong issues or issues that could create conflict?
I used to be, and I had to learn some lessons in that. You can be forceful in how you articulate a situation or demand even. But again, that was at a time when I was really not that experienced yet in dealing with people of all manner of background and culture. And some folks who are older have certain convictions they won't turn away from. And there was a time early on, and in particular when I was working in Target, working out in the field more, where I had some staff under me. And when I went into a store, for the most part, I was considered a supervisor and I would dictate this and now you got to do this. But, you know, I might have come across as a bit too overbearing, if you will, at the time. And I realized during that time, working with some really good managers, you know, that, you know, are there to instruct me as well. I said, listen, you know, you have to delegate and you're going to find that you're managing a lot of people with different personalities and opinions. And you can go ahead and try to be linear as possible, but you're going to end up falling out of the window on the side for failing. And essentially, that's what it really comes down to. I wouldn't say I'm forceful, but I do stand behind the strength of the existing policies that you have. So ultimately, in the end, that's what it really comes down to, is your policy. And if your policy has loopholes in it or it's weak, well, then that's something you have to review to try to, I guess, streamline it a little bit, make it stronger, make it more defined, so that residents or contractors, whomever, are not lost in between the language, right? So I wouldn't say I'm forceful at all right now. I would say it depends on the circumstance and depends on the existing policies that I will, I guess, for lack of a better saying again, enforce if I have to. Let's hope we don't have to get to that point, though.
You know? I've got one last little question. Quite often when we have our board meetings, if you happen to be the person that we select, you will be attending those meetings on a regular basis with us. And there will be a point in time where a board member or a resident may say something that seems to attack you, or very well could attack you in some form or fashion because they didn't like something that you said,
okay,
or something that you did. Can you tell us how you would respond? And I'm not saying give you word for word, but use an example. If I were to tell you that I can't stand that black shirt you're wearing for whatever reason, and it makes no difference because whatever the reason is for this person, it's upsetting them. And it's not meant to attack you physically or personally, but it comes across that way. Can you curb your tongue and your personal feelings enough to control the situation without blurting out anger and frustration and being horrible?
I would ask you, honestly, I would ask you, how can I be better? What is it you see that maybe I don't see? Can you help me see what you're seeing? Obviously, if you don't like the color shirt I'm wearing, we can go to a different store, so to speak. But no, that's, I think, the proper way. If there's, listen, I this kind of touches into forcing, right? What we were just talking about. There are people that might see it in a different way than you do. We see each other in the mirror every day. We hardly see changes sometimes. But sometimes it takes our friends or family to kind of wake us up on things that we've been doing that unconsciously we just kind of blinded to, right? So I think it works in the same way in a professional work area or arena. You know, you do have to listen. And if there's something that I say or something that I have said to offend somebody, how can I be better? What, please let me see what you're seeing. Help me to understand. Again, and a lot of people are from different cultures and backgrounds. I'm a city boy. I am a city boy born and raised in New York City, surrounded by 8 million people. Very diverse, but also can be very volatile, if you will. And when I moved to the country in upstate New York, it was a massive cultural hit for me. I was not used to anything living up in the sticks. When I had neighbors, hey, can I cross your field? I need to hunt and get on the tree stand. I'm like, what's a tree stand? What are you talking about? You know, I didn't know any, but it was you know what? It's amazing because you adapt. And for me, within 2 years, I was with him and he's teaching me how to, field dress a venison out in the field. I mean, you learn along the way, you adapt. And, no, I mean, as far as bursting out and screaming, no, I'm not 16 anymore. It's a long time ago. That's not going to happen.
Thank you for that response.
You're welcome.
I have a question from a resident from the Zoom, and they want to know if you're willing to accept the job, even though we don't have enough employees right now to offer group insurance.
Of course. I mean, it's interesting because I've always kind of dealt with this for the most part. Especially in my last job, they didn't have a handyman. So in my last job, I was supposed to have an assistant, what they call assistant superintendent, or they call him building engineer, but that's just a glorified name. It's a handyman. And essentially that's the guy that will do a lot of the repairs and so forth while I manage them and look it over. We didn't have that. So I had to essentially cover a lot of the administration and do a lot of those hands-on things. Now, granted, it wasn't major alterations. You know, you're changing fixtures or, you know, looking for leaks, if you will, the check and check valves and things of that nature and plumbing or electrical outlets and so forth. But I had to do them. That's why I kind of mentioned in my last interview that I don't mind getting my hands dirty, so to speak. I don't mind going outside and helping the staff out. I kind of want to do that. It builds trust, relationships. They'll actually begin to hopefully trust me. So can happen.
Okay.
One more quick question. You're sitting in your office out in the back room, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you hear rage, screaming, hollering, complaining, calling your staff all kinds of names. I mean, to the point where it's not good. What are you going to do?
I pull my staff out right away. I get them to another location. I pull them away, and you disengage that situation. You let the resident go ahead and vent out if they will, but I'll be the meat shield for that. I don't want my staff to be involved in that. I don't need them to be involved in that because essentially that can create a bigger issue and liabilities towards the property. And that's not saying that my staff couldn't handle a situation like that on their own. They should. I'd like to think they would know better to back away, so to speak, unless they're getting completely physically attacked and there's no time for me or anybody to get there. I understand that. But if I have the opportunity to stop a confrontation like that, absolutely. I'll be the meat shield. That's my job. They can scream and yell at me. That's fine.
Thank you.
Gary has a question.
I want to go back to a couple of things. We don't currently have nearly enough employees to have group insurance. But with the help of a resident, the two that have insurance, they applied for the on healthcare.gov for the ACA. And got a tax credit, and that solved the problem. Would you be willing to apply for the health care tax credit on the ACA website, the official government website?
If that's what I'm being offered or part of it, potentially yes.
Okay.
I just need to see the particulars on that.
Okay. I want to go back to something Mark brought up, the caregiver situation. Just so you know, we passed and it became in effect, new deed restrictions went into effect in mid-December. It was by a vote, one vote per lot of all the owners, around 700. And that was the first vote in about 6 years, five and a half, 6 years, to change the deed restrictions. The current deed restrictions allow a family member over 18 to be designated as a caregiver without being a CNA. If they're not family, they have to be a CNA. So that's why the grandchildren are now allowed to care for grandparents, because they got to be over 18. They're family. It's allowed. And unless we vote and change that, that's allowed, just to let you know. So we can't really fight that currently unless we change the deed restrictions.
Was the deed restriction changed to accommodate that at one point?
It changed to include the requirement for non-family members to be CNAs if they're going to live with an elderly person.
Right.
That was added. CNA requirement was
added. So it wasn't actually there previously?
I don't think it was, no. Okay. And now it is. But family members over 18 are allowed to be caregivers for a family member. And so if we were to try to stop that, it would fly in the face of our current deed restrictions. And of course, you know, some people might think, oh, you should be 40 to care for an elderly person, but that's not what's allowed. Over 18 is allowed by family. One other thing. If you receive communication from our park attorney, would you be willing to share that in writing from the attorney with the board? Because there was a lot of communication with the previous DM, maybe several, where we just get verbals. And so, you know, it left a little doubt whether we were actually hearing the statements or opinions or views from our park attorney, who's been the attorney for quite a while, sharing it with the board. Could you make sure that the attorney puts it in writing so that the board can read it and know this came from Attorney Bone?
Well, the attorney could put it in writing. Sure. I don't see why he or she would not be able to do that.
We'd like to get away from the verbal.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my previous experience, if I've had any meetings with any attorneys, they'd have to put it in writing down.
All right.
Because I am ultimately in the end, although I might be the DM, nevertheless, there is an umbrella higher than me. And so that would fall whether it's on board members or trustees. Yeah, no, to me, that's no, I couldn't go into a conversation with a legal and not ensure that there's something's not done in writing, really.
Yeah.
That's also to protect me. Also as well, so
right, and that way we know it for a fact that our attorney has said something or advised something. You know, there was a lot of verbal previously,
right?
Okay.
I believe Joan has a question from a sure. resident. Okay.
In the past, we've had issues with the manager not sharing information with the board, and the question is, will you keep the board abreast of any issues that arise? Many times residents' complaints were not expressed to our board members in a public meeting, so issues or concerns could not be addressed in a timely fashion.
Without question, I suppose, and again, I'm not necessarily privy to this right now because I don't see all your software. I was just under the impression usually when there's any kind of work orders or grievances or anything, there's also an interface to help with that. I don't know if that exists here or not.
Maybe in the next couple of weeks, but not right at the moment.
Okay. So if everything's done literally by hand or verbal, you know, it's not the most efficient manner, I think. But yeah, of course, if there's grievances or issues that residents want to bring to me, to notify the board members or trustees, then of course I would do that. We're going to have to figure out a more efficient way that these particular topics or issues might streamline a little better to the trustees, whether it's through technology or not. So,
in the past, and I don't know how long ago or how many years ago, but there used to be one board member that would provide oversight to which the complaints are put in writing and the resident signs it or the renter signs it. If they don't sign it, doesn't count. But complaints or concerns would seem to get lost with no oversight. I'm not suggesting we've got to go back to that oversight, but if you could just make sure that resident complaints don't just get thrown in the trash or whatever, you know, because residents have multiple complaints, same issue, never gets resolved with previous management, one DM. And so we don't want that to start coming up again, you know, and I just don't think it would with you.
I certainly won't make believe that all the residents in this park, obviously it's 55 and up, are technically savvy or have access to certain conveniences that I had in my previous work in buildings where we had full interfaces where every resident had access to an interface where they can type and put in their grievances or suggestions, if you will. And it went into a database that all the managers or board members could have access to. And it could be reviewed by myself. But again, the eyes were also coming from the board members. They could see it. I don't know if that's something that could work here. Again, I'd have to see all your infrastructure, if you will, see if something like that could work. That's essentially just to streamline it, make it easier for residents. But again, with that said, I'm not going to just make an assumption that every resident is 100% knowledgeable in using computers or this and that. That's something that, in the meantime, right now, we'll get their collection of grievances as long as it's written down, right? And at least it's signed. And it's certainly something that I can look at and review and pass on that information. Without a doubt.
I'm going to ask you a really stupid question. And I've always been told that no question is really stupid unless you don't ask it. But I believe we told you before, if you are hired, if you're the person that we select, you will actually work for the residents of the park. You don't work for Holiday Mill, but you work for the residents. You work for the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees is put here by the residents, and
right.
You will respond to us, we respond to them. Being male, and the fact that I'm the chairperson, I'm not your boss, but I am the chair of the board.
Right.
How would you interface with the female? Do you feel comfortable having a female person, whether it be a subordinate in the office that works with you, giving you guidance and taking direction from a female?
My from 2000 and I want to say it was 2014 to 2018, I had a manager. Her name was Kelly Stack. My favorite manager to work. She was outstanding. And she wasn't afraid to bring a hammer down on me if she felt that I did something wrong or if there was something I was challenging. I had no problem working for her. And as a matter of fact, all my managers were female. I had no problems or conflicts working with them.
The only reason I even brought that up is in today's society, because we are no longer seem to be male or female, we're all joined. There are times when, and I have been in a situation where men worked underneath me multiple times through the government, and a lot of them didn't like having a female supervisor. I'm not always going to be the chair. Next year, it could be this lady, or it could be that lady, or it could be that man. We don't know until we reorganize in January how our board will actually be seated. But it could change on a regular basis for you. Mm-hmm. And when we make that change, you have to kind of go with the flow. You're comfortable with doing that.
But just as long as I'm respected as a human being and you treat me with respect, you're going to get the same back.
That's all we can ask for. Yeah. I appreciate that.
As far as hiring employees, are you the type of person that would put an ad out and have people come in and interview them personally? Or are you more of, I'm going to go online with organizations and hire through like Manpower, Indeed, that type of thing?
I'd like a say in that. If we're bringing somebody in and for staff, so to speak, it's something I would like to be able to review as well. And have questions, if you will. I'm just assuming we're talking about staff.
Yes. Yeah. What I'm getting is, I guess it's kind of been our practice to go through Manpower or a like organization to bring somebody in.
Okay.
And that's much more costly for the park than bringing somebody in and interviewing them on a personal level.
Okay.
And saying, okay, yep, you fit this is the description. You fit the description. We want to hire you. This is what it's going to be. Right. You know, that type of thing. Vice saying Manpower, we're looking for a person, you know, to do grounds, and they send somebody out and we just deal with that. I mean, we budget for it. However, it is quite a bit more expensive than if we brought somebody in, interviewed them, and hired them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if you're.
I'm somewhat a little confused. I don't know the difference in the cost of versus organization. Is that something that's more of like nonprofit, something to do with?
Manpower is a headhunter organization, company.
Okay.
And if we put some, what Mark is alluding to is using a headhunter or a service like you have done.
Ah.
Or okay. If you are comfortable putting right. an ad in on Indeed or Mobster or whatever that and doing the interviewing yourself with yourself.
Right. I mean, I personally, and this is me, if I'm bringing personnel into the field, and in my experience, I've always had at least a 10 or 15 minute interval, if you will, to interview. It's just my gauge to be able to see the man or woman in front of me. Know what I'm getting in. And you have to understand from my point of view, if I bring you in, I'm also going to trust you to perform your duties as what's your expectations. If I don't know much about you and just bring you in and something bad happens, then it falls on me, doesn't it? So that's why I generally like to have the opportunity to speak to personnel coming in as versus just, and again, I understand now what you're saying. Obviously there's probably more context to this than I'm seeing right now, but just on a surface level, from what I've experienced in my experience, I've always had the opportunity to talk to folks coming in. Again, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes. Now, does 10 to 15 minutes solve me being able to look through this guy's spirit and soul and say, oh, he's definitely a good guy? No, of course not. But at least I'd have a chance to see what I'm dealing with. There's some questions sometimes that you can ask to get a gauge.
I guess what I'm asking is, vice going through a headhunter, would you be comfortable with putting an ad?
Yes.
To that and interviewing them one to one on one, vice saying, look, we need a person to fill this position, and they send somebody. I understand you would sit down with them talk to them, but
no, I'm fine.
I got one more for you, Miguel. We got a major project coming up, and it's something that we're going to have to do and address. And I noticed that you're showing some proficiency in electrical and plumbing. And how far into that electrical and plumbing would you say you are? Is you a master electrician?
No, I'm not. No, I'll say this. Apex Technical School is a very long time ago. And as I alluded to, you learn a lot of things on hand. You can read everything you want, but until you're actually out in the field doing it, you really don't know yet. When I was working as a field tech, they did send me to some programs to learn how to run conduit, learn how to run BX cable, learn how to test power, if you will. Was I dealing with like major massive voltage of transformers? No. Okay. I'm not going up on a high line anytime soon. General electrical. Yeah. I mean, we can definitely look at it. We're talking about outlets.
So you know the difference between a fuse.
I can certainly do that. I mean, are you still using fuses here?
No, you don't use the copper
fuses. You're not using the old ones.
The two-wire system down there, yeah. Porcelain.
Yeah, so, but plumbing is another thing. Yeah, it's the same application. Have I sweat pipe before? Yeah, I've done that before. Have I threaded pipe? I tried to. I wasn't really good at it. But for the most part, when I got into out of that and went into my last job, I didn't really do that much. Unless there was some private work that, hey, would you be willing? And maybe I did something in my boiler room. That was just ancient, and we had so many issues with piping breaking down. So there was a lot of times I had to do, if you will.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting to is, if we had, let's say, an electrical contractor in here,
yeah,
and he's going,
you
would know, yeah, if he was blowing smoke.
I can find out. Yeah.
Otherwise,
we can talk about that. We can talk about resistance and ohms and all that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead then and open the questioning today. We're going to, I need to have the residents please come forward one at a time. If you have a question, use a microphone. Make sure you state your name and your address for the record, and then address your questions to Mr. Garcia.
Carol, I have another one.
And then we have one after this gentleman from a viewer.
William Linares, 1256 Shell Court. I wonder how you feel about making exceptions to the rule.
Exceptions to the rule, it really depends on the context of what we're talking about. It's with respect, it's a very general. Is there anything specific? Because, and again, I don't know all the bylaws yet.
Well, I'm just saying that we have bylaws, we have deed restrictions, we have ACC rules that need to be stick to. And the last DM did not stick to them. She would make exceptions. She would just say, yeah, go ahead.
Right.
That can't be done anymore.
Right. No. And again, exceptions to the rule, you know, for the bylaws and everything that's there, right. You know, if somebody asked me, but just an example, hey, would you mind cutting my grass or could you just trim? I'm going to say yes if I have the time to do it. And maybe that's a poor example, but I'm always willing to work with people. But with that said, I have to stay within the rules, right?
I mean, if it's an obvious violation of the deed.
Oh, without a question. If it's a violation that can come back and bite us in the butt with liabilities, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
My thing is also, I have to also protect, again, the liabilities involved. I mean, I don't know how much you've been litigated here, but in my previous experience, it was a lot. And sometimes it could be as much as just somebody saying the wrong thing. So, we always had to take that very seriously where I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Carry on with bills a little bit. I don't care what your rules say. Now handle that one.
Figure that out.
I'll figure it out. Not like that. Joan, you want to go ahead and ask your question?
Okay, this is another one from a resident. If a legal rule or regulation situation may arise, view our governing documents first to find the information or process to follow prior to contacting our attorney.
Oh, absolutely. I have a listen. I'll be honest with you. Just from what I gather, there's a lot of it I'm going to have to catch up to. So I'm not going to go into a meeting station not being prepared at all.
It's not real complicated. It's
okay. Fit that in.
Just a weekend homework.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I like that. We're not complicated. Additional questions? Okay, I'm going to ask you based upon what he asked. We do have bylaws, deed restrictions, and quite often we have people that just ignore them. Are people that they're above them? Are people who think that they understand them this way, by someone else this way? So interpretation is big thing that we play with. Let's say you have who is a renter and the resident is the only person that's supposed to be just the renter, and then all of a sudden they decide to bring in family members who are not registered to live here, who should not be here, but who continually live here. Can't say, okay, I'm going to let it slide, because we let it slide one time and end up having to live forceful enough to deal with it, to address it, and to tell them they have to leave. But if they choose to leave, how do you deal with it?
Well, that point in time, we have to drop the hammer, right? We have to look at our legal options there. I'm not going to be, hopefully I'm not being asked to have to physically remove them, because it's not. But no, I'd rather take the steps legally to get on board with that, make that a priority. Look, in the end, I understand there's folks listening on to this, right? Mm-hmm. Residents. A lot of you have maybe some doubts. Most of you have gone through some tough experiences maybe with your previous DM. The only thing I would ask out loud to everyone, all the residents, is, you know, whatever your convictions may be, I would be new coming in, and all I really should to start out with, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Try to put away some of whatever resentments that you may have, and said than done. But I want to be able to have a conversation first to see what a lot of the issues are. But to be fair to you folks as well, is you also have to understand that I do have a role here and a job here. And that job does include to have to enforce those bylaws. And it's not a personal thing, something that I'm looking to indict you folks with. It's something that I'm coming in to have to follow a job specific. And if you're angry and this and that, well, it's just like our democracy, or, well, still there. But it's a matter of being able to challenge the status quo legally, fairly, through elections, if you will. And that's how you change the rules if you want them changed. But outside of that, I have to perform my duties, include enforcing those bylaws. And again, I want to say this to everybody, nothing personal at all. And I'm very open to hearing you out and having that conversation. But if I tell you, no, I have to follow these stipulations, don't take it as a personal attack. I'm going to do everything I can to at least listen and try to do the best I can so we have respect between us. You know, so
I think
some of what we're getting at is previous DM seemed to show favoritism in order to build allies in the park, and then enforcement of things with people that maybe were sometimes a little critical of the DM. We be firm but fair is, you know, are about five government governing documents, ACC rules. That was a vice chair that came up of the ACC, and we have rules and regulations, deed restrictions, bylaws.
Right.
And as long as you enforce them evenly, then the perception will be good amongst all residents. And we don't need a DM coming in here playing favorites, letting certain people get away, being told, oh, don't worry about it, or throwing away complaints or whatever. You know, those kind of things. Everybody's pretty well fed up with it.
All right. No, I completely understand that. No, I'm not somebody fairly biased and take sides. Look, I have two teenage sons I need to continue to rear, and I need to keep. So I'm not one that's going to make one person happy that's really going to, lack of a better way of saying it, piss 100 people off later. It does the way I see it. Mm-hmm. Having empathy, yes, it has its importance, but it also has a degree where it has to have stop. I don't want to hurt Iran on a rule because I helped somebody out one time where I broke the rule. So,
yeah. So, excuse me. So I think in short, what we're saying is, we're your employer. However, you shouldn't treat any one of us up here any differently than you would treat any resident. I think that's what we're saying in short.
Right.
We should be above the rules and regulations, not making exceptions to them.
The old terminology from the Southern family is called sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander.
Oh, yeah.
If it works for one, it works for all. If it doesn't work for one, then nobody else can do it either.
Right.
So if we have a guideline, that guideline is meant for 700 plus homes, 1,500 residents. Everybody is treated equally with respect and guidance to all of us.
Right.
No one person deserves anything above or beyond.
I have a question.
Yes.
In the circumstance where somebody is very sick, one of your residents is very sick, that might require some form of breaking a rule. What happens if the DM comes to you and says, we're talking about maybe a matter of life and death here?
You know, I can't speak for the entire board, but I can speak for myself. There are circumstances when you have to turn a blind eye, but it's on a circumstantial basis. It doesn't happen every time. And I'm not saying don't look at what's going on. If there's a problem, say, for example, we have a resident who is 96 years old. This resident is having health problems. So a family member has to come in and out, in and out, in and out. The resident doesn't require 24/7 health care, but the resident brings them, or the family member brings them food on a regular basis or comes and helps them with their medication.
Right.
The child doesn't live in the park. The child is not a CNA. It is not, but doesn't have a sticker for their car.
Right.
Mom is sick and mom forgets to call them in. And mom, so how do we get this person into the park? We have to sometimes break the rule of not having a sticker to give them an extended pass. That's a little something. Something that conveniences the elderly while they're ill until they're back on their feet, but not a continue. So I think that's what we're looking at saying is it's not breaking the rules specifically, but it's kind of for a short term.
Prior DM's DM approached the trustees with this in any circumstance?
I don't remember her ever speaking to us about it. She just did what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that the trustees would want
My opinion is that if you're in a situation that you're not sure how to handle, if it's an ACC situation, you might want to take it to the ACC board and say, you know, get their advice and have the board vote on it.
Right.
If it's like what Carol's talking about, being sick or, you know, some other elderly resident situation, I would bring it to the board.
See, that's what I would do as well, but I've done
that way you're not
before.
Making the decision yourself. You're having all of us help you do it.
No, I think that makes sense. That's really what I was getting at.
I mean, if it's an emergency where it needs to be dealt with, like right now, somebody's bleeding, you know,
right.
You have the responsibility to deal with that emergency right now. Yeah. But if it's something that's going to be on a continued basis, I think it would be best that you brought it to the board so that the board could give you guidance. It protects you, but it protects the residents and it protects the park as well.
And I guess that's wherein lies a lot of the previous conflicts, which was, I'm going to guess, a lack of communication.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And transparency.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Do we have any other questions from residents? You guys came, but you're awfully quiet.
Don't be nervous. I'm okay. I promise.
I don't think he bites, but if he does, it may not be hard.
Fair enough.
Anything else?
No.
All right. One more question back here.
Bill and Ayers, 1256 Shell Court. If you were offered the job, how soon can you start?
Probably within a few weeks, if you will. I mean, it really depends on the trustees here, what small little language comes in between offers, if you will.
Right. Once everything is settled, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can start right away.
And all that, but once everything's settled, how soon? Can you start? I mean,
right away.
Next week or so? Yeah.
Yeah, right away.
Thank you.
Would you mind? I think we've reached a point. Would you mind stepping out so this board can maybe make a decision?
Sure.
Don't run away.
What's waiting?
Carol,
smartass.
Can we make a motion?
I would like to
have a discussion.
I think we need to do some discussion before we make a motion. Although legally, you're not supposed to discuss things unless there's a motion on the floor. Mm. But I'm not certain if we're at that stage where we're ready to make a motion. Does anyone have any questions of a response that he gave that we might want to address first? You guys have any questions of one of his responses? Yes, ma'am. We asked him at the last appointment, but whether he's willing or not, he'll have to go through one because it's required, because we are a 55-plus community, and I have already done the research and gotten the information on getting that started if he chooses to make the application. If I remember correctly, Becky, you had it jotted down. Just she might have that. I don't have it.
It was 50 to 65, I think. 50.
Well, I apologize, please. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions or comments anybody has?
He had one. Oh, excuse me, Jack. He had one because we kind of left it up in the air. He did express a willingness to apply for the ACA tax credit, and that leaves a little difference, or a difference. It might involve two-thirds of it being covered, or so something approximately like that. So the board would have to consider. Are we going to stick with the current employee manual policy of picking up the rest, or ask him to, or make a
percentage of the remainder.
I think that we need to discuss that and put that on the next board meeting's agenda.
And he's probably going to make too much money to apply for that.
No, that's not correct. I looked on the ACA, and I looked at two numbers, $60,000, and I did look at family of four. It's $1,491 a month tax credit. $90,000, the tax credit drops to $1,091 a month. But now the park does not pay for the entire family, just the employees. So he'd have to look at that and say, okay, the ACA will allow me this much, and then the board can consider what to do with the difference.
Right. What I'm saying is, right, what we did in the interim since we can no longer offer insurance, mm-hmm. is we built in a bonus.
Right.
Okay. The board needs to discuss that. In Derek's case, we gave him a substantial raise. And he can cover that insurance. In the case of Lori, if she was paying the insurance herself, she would not have a raise. She would be getting less. So the board needs to decide, do we want to do a dollar value? Do we want to do a percentage? And that needs to be built in to their pay.
Okay.
We shouldn't be.
But this should be different from the other employees. The manager has, in the past, the manager has always had full health insurance, and that's different from what this new guideline is with the employees. I think that the manager should be different. But I think if we're going to offer him a position, you're going to have to offer him health insurance. I mean, he's going to want to know that before he says yes or no.
Right, and I'm thinking along the lines, because the park has never been able to use the tax credit available, which was doubled at the beginning of this calendar year, and it's a permanent doubling, ballpark doubling of the subsidy. I know my wife and I looked at it, and a couple of 3 years ago, it was $269 a month. Now it's over $500 a month, and so we're not looking at $12,000 to $14,000 health insurance costs if he's willing to go online, get what tax credit he can. We might be looking at half that.
Maybe pay 50%.
And so maybe a figure of $6,000 a year towards health insurance or something, and it's up to him to cover the rest of his family.
But what I'm saying is, it needs to be built into the offer.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I think we should offer him 66 as a starting point. Open for discussion, though. I don't know. That would be the 60 he's asking for and 6 towards health insurance. And depending on the employment status of his wife.
You don't even know if he has insurance. A wife.
We don't know. If he's just a single father, then it's going to be like $1,200-$1,300 a month, and that would cover the kids. The government would be covering his kids.
We have a comment from a resident that says if he's looking at between $50,000 and $65,000 or $60,000, we can't offer insurance. We just don't have it to offer. So that's not something we can even put into a package. That's plain and simple. We can offer the bonus, as Mr. Boda has explained to us multiple times, as well as Ms. Foote. But we can make an offer, and I don't think we should offer any more than the $60,000 to $65,000, because within 90 days we may look at his work performance and do a performance and offer him an increase. But regardless of how we word this, we need to make certain that we're not offering insurance, because we don't have it to offer, and it should not even be entered into any type of contractual offering or even mentioned, because we don't offer it at all.
And as far as 90 days, 90 days ain't enough for me. I want to see somebody in here for an extended period of time, say 6 months, before we even consider offering any more.
I think Mark's got a
good
point.
That makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. It's going to take more than 90 days to even learn what we do.
Yes.
He did say 60. I wrote that down also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He'd like to see 60.
Yes. Well, then maybe office 65 and no mention of health insurance. And we'll take a look
ladies,
in 6 months.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having residents that are piping in with us and sending us text messages. I know that we're in a conversational status, but we still need to be able to be heard by them so that they understand your responses and your questions. So if you don't mind coming to the mic from now on, I apologize to those that are on Zoom that weren't hearing. So if you've got something you want to comment on, make sure you come use the mic.
Jack has a question.
Jack.
Do we have any references from Miguel?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. And I've contacted him. I did speak to one. Unfortunately, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, so I didn't get to call the other three back. They haven't returned my phone call. The lady that I spoke to was very knowledgeable about his work skills and his ethics, and she said if she had the opportunity to work with him again, she would hire him in a heartbeat. She was very positive about him. He was knowledgeable in the work that he performed. He was very polite, very courteous, always respectful of any requests that were done of him at the time when she was working with him. And she said, I would highly recommend him. But mostly she said, if he ever came back to New York, he would come to work for me. Now, whether she was blowing smoke up my skirt, I can't tell you that, because lots of people will say good things about people because they want to get rid of them. So you want to be that. That's why I'm wanting to talk to the other three people that we do have. And I'm hoping that I can have a verbal conversation with them today. But unfortunately, New York people are very busy and very active, and not that we're on a different time frame. It's just they're not in their office. I've not only called their offices, but their cell phones. And when cell phone just immediately goes bleep, bleep, I think they're usually flying. That's normally when it's turned off. So I'm still working on that to get that information together, but we are checking them.
I think that his request for salary was very reasonable. As we all know, it was $22,000 less than we were paying, and at least what the budget showed, $82,000. And healthcare, we were paying $12,000. We're thinking maybe contribute $5,000. That's a total of $27,000 less than it was costing us a couple of months ago. So I definitely think he's being very reasonable, a modest request on his part. And we can always look at him down the road, like Mark suggested, maybe at least 6 months or something. And
I just don't want to get in a situation where all of a sudden they feel, that person feels, I'm doing the job, I deserve more, I'm asking for more.
I think it would probably be the board that would do the offering. So I can't imagine him having to come to us. I think we're going to realize if we've got a keeper. And the residents are going to have a voice in all that too. They'll be observers in all this.
I'm wondering if he's read our job description.
Well, he must have, because it was posted at Crawford Thomas. So.
I think before he goes today, we probably ought to give him a copy of the job description and a copy about the About Us book.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But I think we should make him an offer.
Definitely.
I'd like to see if we could offer him 65 with no mention of insurance. Mm-hmm.
If we made him an offer, what do you guys think about something like this? We make him an offer of 65,000 annual starting salary review in 90 days, not to increase the salary, but to review his work techniques and has he brought himself up to standards on the CAM license and the Florida statutes and things of that nature. 6 month review with a possible increase if the board feels he's doing the adequate work. 12 month review guaranteed with an annual increase if not given at 6 months.
I agree with that 100%.
Yep.
That gives us a starting point. We're not saying we're going to give an increase in 6 months, but if he's working to the standards of the boards and the board feels he's worthy of it in 6 months, then we can do that. But then in 12 months, you do the annual review. But because if he gets a six-month increase, he doesn't get a 12-month increase.
All right,
then it would fall into the annual after that. Does that make sense to you guys? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if we don't give one at six, then at an annual, then you always would consider an annual.
Right. Is that with an understanding that we are not paying insurance? Because
we don't have insurance to pay.
I think if we don't mention it, we don't offer insurance.
We're not offering insurance whatsoever.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to make sure of.
Right.
Can I put that in the form of a motion?
Yes. Well, Carol.
So. All right. We have a motion by Becky Ernest to make an offer of $65,000 annual with the 90-day review for review of work ethics, a six-month review with review of work ethics. And if the board feels that he is up to standards to what we are looking for, we will consider, not guarantee, but consider an increase at that point in time, a 12-month review of work ethics. If he is given the six-month review and an increase, he will not receive one at 12. He will go on the annual from the 6 months. But if he is not given one at 6 months, then he will be given the required annual as we do for all of our employees from that point forward.
Question. How long are we going to keep him out there?
I second the motion.
24 hours? 48 hours?
No.
We got a second on the motion.
Okay.
I just have a comment. Did we get a second on it?
Yes, it's been seconded.
Okay, I just have one comment or concern. Do we really want to tell him that there's possible increase at the 6 months?
Nope. He doesn't need to be told that. That's okay. Our information only.
All right, so we're going to...
We're just going to let him know that we're going to do the reviews.
Okay.
He's going to hear it.
I can take it out of the minute.
No, it's going to be in the audio. So
you want me to go get him? Oh, we didn't vote. I said we didn't need to vote.
I still have a question. Are we going to request a time frame on when he's going to let us know if he accepts a position or not?
I would hope that he would accept a position within 1 week.
24 hours.
24 hours?
Yes.
All right.
Let's see what he says when he comes back and we make the offer.
Right. He said he's interested. Hopefully he. Yeah, I was just going to say.
He may tell us today. And then if he does, then I can go ahead and start the background processing.
This offer should be subject to a clear background check.
Yes, subject to a cleared background check.
Right.
The background check. Any other questions or
do the comments? Residents have anything specific they want to say? Are you people in agreement with what the board is deciding?
All right.
You guys like him enough for us to make the offer?
Yes.
Because this just isn't us. It's okay.
All for the vote.
Would you like to ask him back in?
We didn't vote.
You're right. We did.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Do we have another question?
Just a yes.
Yeah, that's a yes. Okay, I apologize, guys. We have the motion on the floor, and it has been seconded. I'm going to call for the vote if there's no additional questions or comments. All those in favor of making the offer to the Mr. Garcia, please raise your hand by right. All right, it looks like we are unanimous. Becky, would you like to ask him in, please? We're just so excited. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just shaking because then he'll get a chance to pay for his insurance when he needs it.
Learning curve.
Yeah, it's a learning curve for all of us, and I think.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Spread the word.
Yay, he didn't leave.
Did the rain keep you, or was it anticipation?
No, I decided to stick around.
Well, I'm going to let you know that this is new for all of us. This is the first time for any of us, I think, with the exception of this lovely lady and that gentleman down there.
Okay.
But it's my pleasure, Miguel Garcia, Jr., to make an offer to you this morning, and we hope that you will consider our offer.
Okay.
We would like to offer you a starting salary of
$65,000. Okay.
We will... follow up with you on reviews at 90 days, 6 months, and a year.
Okay,
to make
so
sure that
days.
You're learning the work that we're asking
Fair
you
enough.
To do.
Yeah.
The offer is contingent upon a clean background check, which we will have to perform because of the requirements. So before you leave today, if you accept our offer within the next day or so,
okay.
I would need to get some information from
will
you.
Will I have at least a day or so to consider?
Yes, we would like it.
But I can still leave you my information.
You can tell me today if you want it. But you can.
Okay,
we're
very
hoping
good.
We would like it within 24, but 48 hours.
It'll be sooner than that.
So I don't know what else to say. I've never at a loss for words.
We're excited about this. This is
we're
exciting.
Very excited to make.
I'm excited as well. If I may, can you just in part of the offer, what is the health insurance again, if there was a...
Now, because we are a small organization, we do not have health insurance. We can't offer health insurance.
Okay.
But so, Gary can help you with the ADA credits.
Okay. ACA, yes. Healthcare.gov.
Yeah, that...
punch in your information.
And what's the site again?
You have a... what's
health,
it called?
It's healthcare.gov.
Okay.
Healthcare.gov.
It
it's the official Obamacare, Affordable Care Act site. And you do have the life-changing experience that qualifies you to sign up, even though it's not open enrollment till October. You can do it because you've changed jobs and moved and all that.
Fair enough.
And just look for yourself, punch in whatever figures you've got, and you'll see the credit instantly. Then you shop the plans.
Yeah,
fair enough.
They ask you a bunch of questions to start out with, and then there's a bunch of plans that you can choose from.
Very good. I appreciate that. Thank you
so much. It's roughly they've increased the income where you do get a credit, and the credit itself is approximately doubled in effective this year.
Very good. Very good. It's good to know. Thank you so much.
If you choose to accept our offer, there are a couple of stipulations that we need to stress. One would be you have to take your CAM testing. And you have to take the 4-hour ethics course. Those are all offered online, and they are something that the park would work with you on getting done.
Okay.
But, you know, financially as well as the time frame. And there's some other things that you would need to study. We want to make certain if you are interested that you take a copy of our job description with you today, as well as our About Us book, so that you can start reading up our bylaws and our rules and regs to make sure that this is where you want to fit.
I was going to say, so I can at least take some of this literature with me while I make the considerations. Right. I appreciate that. That'd be good.
Is your phone number on your resume? Is that your cell phone?
That's my cell phone. That's the best way to contact me.
I can send you the link to the course that Joan sent to all of us and also the link to healthcare.gov.
That would be great.
I'll
would appreciate that.
To that. You. So you can look
and
it
get
over.
Right on top of that. Yeah, if you can do that, that would be wonderful.
Carol, and all you have to do is type in CAM, C-A-M. I forget what it stands for, Community Association.
Yeah, I started looking into it, actually, after.
Every single, when you put that in, a whole bunch of different classes come right up.
I think at least when I tried looking in a few weeks back, it was right after the first time here, they did need some information from the community here, if you will. I think it's some language that I couldn't fill out because I didn't know it at the time. But if I have any questions, obviously I can reach out.
Sure. And can I I assume that we will be paying for that or reimbursing him for that because we do have money in the budget
for. Oh, yes, that's a requirement of us. I think the park should reimburse all of that, yes.
Yeah, that was my question. I was going to thank you.
That's what I meant by the park assisting you, I guess. I just didn't say it that way.
Fair enough.
Joan will explain to you how to get onto a couple of these sites because the sign-ins are horrible.
No, I trust me. Nowadays, now they have a 2FA SMS authentications. It's really just become convoluted the way they put it together. But listen, I guess in the end, it's just to secure your accounts and stuff. So.
Right. We're excited, I hope.
I'm excited, too. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate everybody's time as well as all the residents who participated here behind me and everybody on here as well. I didn't even look there before. I forgot about that screen. Can you watch movies in here? Can Is there movies in here as well?
We could, but we don't.
Oh, yeah? I was just wondering, do you have community events where you do it in here?
Oh, we have community events all the time.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. It's lovely. That's good. Should. It's a very large space here. So.
And you're very knowledgeable with this stuff, right?
This will be interesting. This will be fun.
We have karaoke set. Bill, we have karaoke Saturday night.
Oh, is that right?
And we play bingo, and we eat a lot, and we have weed bowling. And
we're having a 4th of July picnic.
Oh, that's nice.
And if
that's
you
good.
Decide to accept our offer, you might want to bring your family to see what we're about.
Oh, that's really nice. That's
we'd like to have you come to the picnic if you decide.
Do I get to play bingo?
Sure.
Well, we're not playing bingo for the
that's
picnic.
Sunday night.
Yeah, that's Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sunday excellent. Night bingo. Excellent. Well, thank you so much again. I really do appreciate the time and the efforts that for accommodating me here. And I just wanted to really give my thanks to everybody for that, especially how it started out when I had the laryngitis. And I didn't actually think I'd get a call back. I said, oh, that's just bad luck. But I do appreciate the opportunity here to speak to everybody. So,
good.
Well, and I will definitely I'll have an answer to you really by tomorrow.
Thank you.
Morning.
Thank you.
So,
do you have our phone number here in the park with you?
It's on the website, isn't it? I saw numbers there.
Yes,
is that the number to call? Is there another number I should?
Do you want to call me or Carol? Or,
I can, yeah, sure. If you want to pass me your phone number, then that'd be great.
321. Three, two, one, 432-3225, and it's Becky.
You'll hear from me.
Good. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So thanks everybody for your time.
Thank you. Becky, why don't you give him some tickets for Monday?
Yeah, she's going to escort you out and get you the paperwork that she needs. Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
I second it.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
What's that?
How do you spell relief?
I might have it.
We threw a lot at it. It sounds very confusing when you try to weigh it all in, but you'll be fine.
Sorry, I know that, guys. I tried to get you. Carol, I gave the copy of those contracts to, I think, Nilda, and she copied a copy to you.
I might be very happy. I'd much rather.
Give it to the office.
No, you're welcome.
He hasn't been up at first.
that's my opinion. I'm just telling you my opinion.
Yeah, be honest, Ms. McMorrow. I probably think I am ready to sit down. I have to sit down because there's this whole certificate thing. I don't understand. It doesn't see things in debate, things in the
right.
I need to understand that.
Right.
And when I get the time, I have too many things on my plate now.
You're very good at what you're doing. And
it's hard. No, and that's what, that's one of the reasons I want them to go through everything.
Right.
I want them to understand. I want them to understand that this park, we are not the, you know, our employee.